So now we're going to go to Pakistan. The talk is Providers' Perspectives on Family Planning Services in Karachi. And our presenter is Amna Rizvi. She recently received her Master's in Public Health from the University of Pennsylvania. She's worked on numerous projects with reproductive health organizations based both in the U.S. and in Pakistan. And she works now full-time as a health communications specialist for the Philadelphia Health Department. So Amna, please.
Thank you, everyone, for being here today. So I'm going to be talking about OBGYN's thoughts and perspectives on and practices on family planning services in the city of Karachi in Pakistan. So I have no relationships to disclose as well. The maternal mortality rate in Pakistan is 260 deaths per 100,000 live births, whereas in the U.S. it's only 21 deaths per 100,000 live births. So it's known that contraception reduces maternal mortality and morbidity rates. But in Pakistan, contraception use is very low. It's one of the lowest in the South Asian region. Only 35% use contraception, of which 26% use modern methods, such as the pills, IUD, and 9% use traditional methods. And a quarter of married women have an unmet need for contraception. So why is contraception usage so low in the country? Research findings have revealed that there is opposition to contraception used by the woman and her family because of religious and cultural reasons. There are misconceptions about health side effects. There's a lack of awareness about different methods due to illiteracy. And there's a lack of access, particularly for those residing in rural areas. With regards to fertility rates, Pakistan was one of the last countries in South Asia to substantially reduce its fertility rate. So in 1970, each woman had 6 children on average. In 2012, the number had decreased to about 3 children on average. So how has fertility declined despite such low levels of contraception use? So according to the only national study conducted to measure the incidence of abortions in Pakistan, 890,000 induced abortions occur annually, both safe and unsafe. So that's about 29 abortions per 1,000 women. So experts agree that this high incidence of abortions and the low levels of contraception use suggest that abortion is an important contributing factor to the decline in fertility. 197,000 women are treated for complications from unsafe abortions. And a few small-scale facility-based studies have given a partial picture of the true extent of death resulting from unsafe abortions in the country. So, and these studies show that about 6 to 11% of maternal deaths in Pakistan are due to unsafe abortions. It's important to note, though, that due to the stigma, data about abortions are not collected in a systematic way. So even though these figures are quite high, it only represents a portion of the actual number of women who are getting abortions and experiencing complications. And majority of the women seeking abortions in Pakistan are not single adolescents. They're married, they're between 25 to 35 years old, they're 3 or more children, and they're seeking abortions to limit family size or space births, primarily for economic reasons. And in Pakistan, there are also a number of perceived restrictions on abortions. There's a perceived religious restriction, but most Muslim scholars agree that abortions are allowed for health and economic reasons within 120 days after conception. There are also legal restrictions. Previously, abortions were illegal except to save the life of the mother. But in the 90s, this restrictive law was amended, and abortions are now legal when performed to save the mother's life and for necessary treatment. So the inclusion of this particular clause made the law a little more open to interpretation, particularly because necessary treatment was not defined just to apply to physical treatment. There are also cultural restrictions because of the conservative society. So because of the perceived restrictions and the lack of safe abortion services available, women desperate for terminations are forced into the hands of untrained traditional birth attendants, who are the most common providers of induced abortions, particularly for women in rural areas. South Central Asia, which includes Pakistan, accounts for over a third of the world's unsafe abortions. So an estimated 22 million unsafe abortions occur worldwide. 7 million take place in this region alone. And unsafe abortions is the fifth leading cause of deaths, maternal deaths in Pakistan. So to round up, contraception usage is low. The incidence of induced abortions is high, which are primarily taking place under clandestine and unsafe conditions. So even though Pakistan has relaxed its laws and Muslim scholars take a more liberal stance on abortions, the question is, why aren't trained providers in Pakistan providing abortion services? So to answer that question, we conducted this study, and the primary goals were to explore providers' attitudes and practices about the delivery of family planning services, their perspectives on induced abortions, and the barriers and facilitators to the provision of contraception and abortion care. This was a mixed method study with OBGYNs in Karachi. Structured surveys and interviews were conducted with key informants, and both arms of the study were conducted simultaneously. So to be included in the study, participants had to be OBGYNs, had to provide obstetric care in hospitals and clinics in Karachi, and be fluent in English. Convenience and snowball sampling methods were used to recruit participants in the quantitative arm, and we had 150 participants that completed the survey. 113 were females, 3 males, and 39 did not report their sex. For the qualitative arm, 6 participants were recruited. In-person interviews were conducted in private offices. The interviews were audio recorded after verbal consent, and they were transcribed verbatim, double-coded, and thematic analysis was conducted. So a large number of respondents, unfortunately, did not provide information about demographics, but luckily we did have a high response rate for the family planning part of the survey. So majority of the participants were under 35 and were primarily female, and most of them had been trained in Pakistan and had recently completed their training. So our survey results showed that the lack of abortion care by OBGYNs was a barrier, since only 17% reported that they provided abortions. Despite the fact that this number is so small, what was interesting was that most of the interview participants felt that the majority of the OBGYNs were providing abortion care, as can be seen in these selected quotes. So this finding highlights the differences between the survey responses and the providers' perceptions regarding abortion care delivery. Religion was another obstacle. 57% reported that they didn't provide abortions because of their religious beliefs. This reason was also echoed by interview participants, as can be seen in these selected quotes. We went into this project thinking that OBGYNs were not providing abortions because they weren't aware that they legally could. But survey results revealed that this wasn't the case. 62% correctly identified the circumstances when abortion is considered legal. So clearly this was a facilitator. But interestingly, most of the interview participants said the majority of the OBGYNs were not aware of the law. So again, the survey responses contradict provider perceptions. With regards to contraception, interview results revealed that there were a few facilitators to contraception utilization. One was that OBGYNs recognized contraception as a crucial need. And secondly, OBGYNs also expressed that it was their professional responsibility to provide quality contraception services. This responsibility was also portrayed in survey results. An overwhelming majority provide contraception and counseling to their patients. However, interview results revealed that there are numerous obstacles on the client side that hinder the utilization. Obstacles like lack of education, misconceptions, paternalistic culture, and families' desire to have more sons. Regarding providers' perceived skills, a little less than half reported that they were skilled in contraception methods, between 45 to 49%, and almost a quarter reported having no skills at all. The interview responses helped explain these figures a little. All interview participants expressed that they received no family planning training during medical school, as can be seen by these selected quotes. According to all the interview participants, the only reason the OBGYNs have any family planning skills at all is because the NGO sector is currently filling that gap. All interview participants also provided recommendations to improve family planning services in Karachi. One was for the medical schools to change their curriculum to include family planning training. Two, for doctors to prioritize contraception counseling and to take an active part in advocating for importance of family planning utilization, particularly for the government, so it can intervene and lay the foundation for this work. So the study had many strengths, but there were also a few limitations. The sample size was small, and because of that, there was limited generalizability and transferability. Because of the sampling methods that we use, there is potential for selection bias. And like with most qualitative research, there's potential for social desirability bias as well. So to summarize, we found that there are multiple barriers to abortion care and utilization of contraception, such as religious beliefs of providers, lack of training, and cultural and societal factors. In addition, the findings reveal that the survey responses and interview responses are actually quite different, particularly with regards to the delivery of abortion care. So for next steps, the study is a pilot, and the findings can be used to inform a more systematic survey of OBGYNs in Pakistan. We are working with local partners in Karachi to disseminate these findings and inform policymakers and key stakeholders in the OBGYN community in the country. And these findings and future research on this topic can be used to plan interventions to eliminate provider-level barriers to the provision of family planning services. And thank you.
Thank you, Amna. As usual, we can open the floor for any comments or questions.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Did you notice any difference in provision of abortion or attitude among Sunni gynecologists versus Shia gynecologists, Pakistan being a mixed country?
Well, in this survey particularly, we didn't ask them to distinguish between Sunni and Shia. We actually didn't even ask what their religious beliefs were. We just assumed most of them were Muslim, because majority of the population is. But we actually didn't ask for that in this
survey.
Because
within Islam you have different interpretations,
yes,
on fatwas regarding,
yes,
abortion.
Yes, and that's why I also said that most Muslim scholars have a more liberal view, but clearly everyone has a different interpretation of the Quran. And
so which is the more
liberal? Well, in the Sunnis you have 2 out of 4 liberals, and the Shia you have more liberal, and you have also special fatwas that you issue per case.
Wow, okay.
Case by case.
Complicated.
Yeah, very complicated.
Yes, would you please stand up and speak loudly?
Okay. In the survey that we conducted,
okay,
it was.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
I'm here.
It was a Lyme survey that we sent to all registered students at the university, and every one will be given a token, so we're blinded to the receiver and they're blinded to us. And we had a 30% respondent rate. There was no selection bias or anything. It went to everybody registered according to the university lists, because everyone has an email. So it was a Lyme survey. Thanks.
It seems to me that 17% of providing abortions is not really low in Karachi. I would think the problem would be much greater outside the city in the smaller towns and rural areas.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with you. We were limited in the reason why we conducted the study in Karachi alone was because of the time constraints that I had. This was my thesis project for my master's. So I was working under specific time constraints, so I just had easier access to the population that we required for this study. So that's why Karachi was just easier for me to do. But I completely agree with you that